2008年11月，联合国禁止酷刑委员会第41届会议，会上审议中共提交的中国人权报告以及非政府组织提出的相关意见和资料。11月21日，委员会发表总结性报告，明确要求中共说明镇压法轮功以来中国大量增加的器官移植手术及无法解释的巨大的器官供体的来源，并责成中共立刻就此展开独立调查，起诉和惩罚所有涉及人员。
2006年3月，中共系统活摘法轮功学员器官事件被第一次曝光。2007年，加拿大两位人权律师大卫·乔高和大卫·麦塔斯发表了第二版对此事的独立调查报告。2008年，联合国禁止酷刑委员会就此事对中国明确质问。在这漫长的2年多的时间中，人们对活摘法轮功器官的暴行从震惊到不得不面对，全世界也越来越关注这一事实。迄今为止，中共对此事一直采取没有任何实质内容的空泛否认。而另一方面，经过人权团体和个人的不懈调查，从不同的渠道，更多的细节和知情人已经浮出水面。
So what we've got is
2007年1月，加拿大著名人权律师大卫·麦塔斯和前国会议员、助理国务卿大卫·乔高共同发表关于中共政权活体摘除法轮功学员器官的第二版独立调查报告。报告中，证据的种类从第一版的18种增加到33种，还包括更多的对中国的医院、监狱及法院的电话调查记录，更多曾被非法监禁的中国法轮功学员的证词。报告还新增加了大量曾在中国接受器官移植手术的海外病人的采访记录。报告发表后，世人震惊。两位作者获邀在世界各地演讲，介绍报告的内容。同时，他们努力搜集更多的证据，为第三版调查报告做准备。2008年7月，报告作者之一大卫·麦塔斯在美国找到一个曾被关押在江苏省某监狱的人。他不是法轮功学员，为避免中共迫害，化名 Lanny。从2005年3月至2007年初，2年多的关押期间里， Lanny 曾被换了17个监号。在里面关押的时间长的犯人告诉他，在2002年到2003年期间，每个号里面都至少发生过2到3起活摘法轮功学员器官的事情。
因为在看守所里面，每年都要进行个至少2次的体检吧。关了很多年，老犯人呢，就偷偷的告诉我呢，这就是要摘这些人的器官。你看这些身强力壮的小伙子呢，就是要摘他们的器官了。就是那些死刑犯呐，还有法轮功的学员呢。那么检查这些人的身体的时候呢，特别是仔细，而检查别人的身体就是一带而过了，主要是要对这些死刑犯和法轮功这些成员的身体检查是主要的。
兰尼曾亲眼目睹被器官活摘者被带走之前被注射药物的景象。
In one case, he saw this person being inoculated being fed intravenously a syringe which had a numbing effect on him.
On the neck, yeah.
看见亲眼看见的，他人被那个绑起来嘛，五花大绑绑起来，躺在床上嘛，两根钉子，用他打的麻醉剂打这么一个大针筒，很大的针筒来，有一个我们那个手，我感觉估计一个我们3个手指头顶在一起，大针管的，你像里面有半管水，针管的水，然后我们去的时候看过他是有半管针管，等到我们的急诊回来，这个针管水没了嘛，他这个人就倒在。
There was this white hospital van that was sitting outside all the time.
因为这个车他开进来嘛，车子开进大院子里面嘛，你的皮什么那个看得到，那白的车子嘛，很大了，比那个他那个车子白车子比救护车大。
And the cell leader would tell this fellow Lanny that these prisoners were actually being organ harvested and that van outside was for that purpose and the injection was for that purpose as well.
2006年11月， Lanny 被转到同一监狱的另一监室，这里还关押着一个姓陈的法轮功学员。
我进去他已经快要走了呀，跟我待没多久了，跟别人待的时间长。他不是规矩打了很重了，把腿也打断了， 才坐不起来，腰也打坏了，然后看得很那个呼吸很困难的，打到最后就把他拖出去了，就没有了。好了，这个人。
The cell leader was basically the same routine he'd seen for the prisoner sentenced to death. That, that somebody had come and blood tested him. There was a syringe put in his neck. That the people in white clothes had come to fetch him. That there was a hospital van outside.
后来他们说，那人肯定就是被这个火灾器官的。火灾防护工其实很在那个一监狱的讲的人很多的呀。就是和法轮功打的，就是火灾了，就是很多的人都是，因为火灾机关跟那个枪毙人，在监狱里都知道是清清楚楚的，没什么、这个隐瞒的事情，好像在外面你们都不知道就是。
证人兰尼表示，警察这样督打法轮功学员的目的，有时就是为了获得其器官。如果某个学员的血型和组织型和一个需要移植器官的病人相配，这个学员往往会成为被毒打的对象。
他是看，就是说他看准了是这个人是那个病人所需要的人，他就打那个人。
那么对他严格，他就对他特别严格，同时打，同时那个迫使你那个警察把他闹翻的，这种小闹翻开始就打你，然后你打了你不服气，你再闹再打吧，打了几次的话你打伤。
And I mean, basically, if you're Falun Gong and you're in prison, you're on your way to be an organ harvesting, as far as I can see.
在大卫麦塔斯和大卫乔高在世界各地针对中共活体摘除法轮功学员器官的罪行进行深入调查和取证的同时，由保卫民主基金会研究员伊森·加德曼和他的助手利夏·莱米组成的另一个独立调查组也在同时开展调查。从2007年夏天开始的一年半的时间里，他们在世界各地寻访从中共的劳教所、监狱中幸存的法轮功学员，以及警察、政府官员等相关人士，以获取中共镇压法轮功的第一手资料。他们的足迹遍及欧洲、北美、亚洲和澳洲，采集了超过120个详细的证词。他们的调查结果证实了中共活体摘除法轮功学员器官罪行的真实存在。伊森·加德曼在美国极具声望的杂志《Weekly Standard》上发表文章，并将出书发表这一调查结果。在他们的证人中，不少人的经历印证了麦塔斯的证人兰尼的描述。
For example, a man we interviewed in Bangkok, he escaped to Bangkok, his name is Yu Qinhui, and he was jailed for 6 years at Sihui Prison in Guangzhou in the south. He said it was common knowledge among the prisoners that people were taken regularly whenever somebody needed an organ, when an official needed an organ, when some rich person needed an organ, that they were taken and removed from the prison.And sometimes the other inmates or the guards would threaten him and say, if you don't cooperate, we will kill you and we will sell your organs.
其实我们在监狱都知道，只要你死，或者说你还没死或者怎么样，其实你都要把你的器官搞定。
于新会在监狱里曾经过三次身体检查，最后一次是在2005年的3月，在武警虎视眈眈的监视之下，监狱里的人都知道，确确实实存在着一份名单，每年都会有一次，名单上的人会被带走，再也不会回来。
Once a year, a bus would come in, and it would sweep through their prison cells, and they would park right outside their building, and the policeman would come into their hallway, and they'd have a list of people, and they'd go in and ask for the person, check, okay, you this person, okay, just take your shoes, take a jacket, let's go. They would not even allow them to get their stuff. Go to the next room, find a person. It was very terrifying for them. They didn't know who was being taken, why, where they were going. And they just collected these people, put them on a bus. Sometimes it was two or three or four big buses full of people in the middle of the night, take them away. And these people were never seen or heard from again.
于新会曾在 Google 的网上卫星地图上 向调查员指出，深夜带走法轮功学员和犯人的汽车在监狱里的停靠地点。在两位调查员访问的证人中，有15人曾像于新会一样被迫接受可疑的身体检查和抽血。
They would do an X-ray of the chest and the abdomen. They would do a sonogram of the liver and the kidney area. They would do a very large blood sample. And sometimes they would take the blood out and put them in 8 different tubes, which suggests that they're doing tissue typing. That is, testing A for diseases, any diseases that would make their organs unusable. Also trying to see whether there is a proper blood type and tissue type match for a potential recipient of the organ.Then they were also doing a lot of urine samples to see the health of the kidney function. So they were doing all these different examinations on these people that were very specific to the functioning of the organs, but they were not checking reflexes. They would not tap them on the knee to see if the leg has a proper reflex reaction. They would not do gynecological examinations for women. All these really basic things that you have in a normal physical, they were not given.
一方面是毫无人性的酷刑折磨，另一方面是奇怪的体检和抽血。看似自相矛盾的行为让很多不知情的法轮功学员迷惑。而更奇怪的是，进行体检的医生并不救治真正受伤的人，而只对健康的人感兴趣。
Here what we're told, for example, in Masanjia, when the women were taken into Masanjia labor camp and they went into the hospital clinic to check their health, if somebody came in on a stretcherThat is, they were lying down from torture, they'd already been beaten in the detention center or in Masanjia, then the doctors would look at them and just wave them away. So if they were visibly injured or sick from torture, they would not be interested at all. They wanted young people, healthy people, and the more healthy they were, the more comprehensively they checked them. They did repeated blood tests and urine samples to see how they could use their organs.
对于大卫·麦塔斯和大卫·乔高来说，参与调查中共活摘法轮功学员器官的罪行，付出的不仅仅是时间、金钱和精力，而更要面对的是来自世界各地的中共使领馆及其下属组织的干扰和破坏。2006年8月，在澳洲的墨尔本，国会议员 Victor Perton 邀请乔高在一个论坛上发表演讲，结果中共领事馆向所有的国会议员发信，要求他们不要参加这个论坛。2006年9月，在芬兰的赫尔辛基，芬兰议会的人权委员会接到中共使馆的电话，要求他们不要和麦塔斯见面会谈。2007年5月，在以色列特拉维夫附近的贝林森医院举办一个关于器官移植的讨论会，邀请麦塔斯先生演讲，结果中共使馆向以色列外交部和卫生部施压，要求医院取消这一活动，或者是取消对麦塔斯先生的邀请。
In Canada there was a documentary that was being done where they were interviewing us and talking about our report, and CBC was advertising about the documentary.And so the government of China calls up the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and asks them to pull the documentary, change the documentary. And the CBC admits they got the call from the Chinese embassy. I mean, they admit publicly they got the call. And they changed the documentary to remove stuff about our report from the documentary. The documentary filmmaker refuses to make the changes, so they take away the documentary from him and make the changes themselves.
麦塔斯先生甚至收到过来自中共官员的死亡威胁。
I was in Australia and I was doing one of these events at the Gold Coast University. And now with the Gold Coast University, it was the same thing. Advertised and then the last minute they canceled. Anyhow, so we're going to another location. And this particular event was broadcast into China. It was live stream. You could listen to it through the internet in China. And there was...maybe a couple hundred people in the room, and there was a couple hundred people in China that were listening to it. And then I gave a speech, and there's a question and answer session afterwards. And they were taking questions from China as well as from the audience in the room. And so one of the guys who's in from China, he says, he asks me a question. He says, I'm from the internet police. You are running the risk of being killed for what you're doing. And his question was, are you not afraid? My answer was, you know, you can't shoot the messenger and solve the problem. I mean, the problem is the facts of the situation, not that I'm talking about.
精致化了的反面宣传同样被用来针对调查。具有中共背景的香港凤凰卫视在2007年6月曾经制作并播出了一个名为《对大卫调查报告的调查》的电视片，片中以采访大卫麦塔斯和大卫乔高独立调查报告中的一些被调查的官员和医生的手法来反驳报告的结论。这个电视片的 DVD 同时由中共驻外机构向海外派发。不过有意思的是，这个电视片破绽百出，恰好反过来证明了独立调查报告的真实性。
独立调查报告中列举的33类证据中有一类，是根据中共官方发表的数据，发现1999年中共开始镇压法轮功后的5年间，中国的器官移植数量暴增至以前的3倍多。对于这突然大量增加的器官来源，在国际社会的压力下，中共无法拿出任何像样的解释。大卫报告引用的数据之一是中国医疗器官移植协会副主任委员石秉义在中国官方的《健康报》2006年3月2日《器官移植要设高门槛》一文中提到的数据。石秉义在这篇采访报道中说，全国至今已实施各种器官移植9万余例，仅去年就进行了近万例肾移植，近4000例肝移植。然而，在凤凰卫视的节目中，石秉义矢口否认自己曾说过这样的数据。
我没有说过这样的话，为什么？因为我头脑里就没有这样的数字，我没有过非常详细的调查，哪一个时间点是多少例，我没有这样的数字，所以我也不可能说。
大卫报告中引用的石秉义的话的原文在互联网上还有据可查，而且被其他中国国内媒体转载。而来自中国医学会器官移植学会其他专家给出的相似的器官移植统计数据，也在中国的政府和媒体网站上比比皆是。这些数据与《健康报》2006年报道中引用的9万余例的数字互相呼应。大卫报告中的另一类证据是对中国大量医生的电话调查记录。调查员以需要换器官的病人家属的身份询问医生能否得到健康的法轮功学员的器官。在被调查的医生当中，很多承认自己使用法轮功学员的器官作为器官移植的供体。广西民族医院的卢国平医生就是被调查的医生之一。凤凰卫视节目采访了这个卢国平医生。卢医生在采访中承认接到了调查员的电话，承认被问到了录音中的问题，但是否认自己做过那样的回答。
他问我那边是不是用的是法轮功的那些器官，但是我告诉他我说我并没有参与这方面的手术，不知道他们器官是怎么来的，这方面我没办法回答他。
你的这个同学有没有跟你说过，他们做的这些都是这种法轮功的，是不是啊？
这有些是法轮，有些是是家属捐献的。
哦，那现在就是说，我想找这种给我的孩子找这种法轮功的，你估计他能帮我找到吗？
那肯定能够找到。
能找到啊。
他在这个报告里面说，你们以前用的法轮功供体是从监狱里面还是从看守所里面拿的？他里面说我的回答是从监狱里面拿的，但是当时我的回答并不是这样，我的回答是我们医院没有这种资质，我本人也没有这种资质，所以不可能拿任何器官。
说就说你们以前用的就说是是从哪里找？是看守所还是到这个监狱呢？
监狱里面找的。
监狱里啊，他那种就是都是那种健康的法轮功是吧？健康的法轮功。
对，肯定是学的好的才能做完，因为这种东西做了要保证质量的。
还有第二个问题是，他说那你们都要到监狱里面自己去挑选吗？他当时说我的回答是对，肯定说要去挑选的。这个问题当时根本的没问到，没有那回事。
那是都要像你们都要到监狱去自己去挑选是吧？
对，肯定挑选。
那挑选如果他不让你抽血怎么办？
他肯定会让。
他怎么会让呢？
有法警在里面呢，你怕什么？这东西都用不着你们担心的。
不是，
问题
他
会，
我知道，他知道会是给他这个取器官移植吗？他会知道吗？
不知道
啊。他不知道啊，就是那就不让他知道，是知道他就不让抽了，是吧？
对。
那怎么说服让他说他说你抽血干什么？那你怎么讲呢？
哎呀，这个他们会有办法，反正这个是不是你担心的问题。
I mean, it was actually interesting for me to see the video they put out or to see the response they put to Nowak, because, I mean, this kind of silly response, in a sense, is a vindication. It's a reaffirmation. I mean, if the best that they can do is contradict what's on their, I mean, deny what they put on their website or deny what we have on tape, and obviously, I think we're onto something.
打压、威胁和御用媒体的欲盖弥彰，人们并不奇怪。但是2007年5月，中共颁布了一个新的器官移植管理条例，是否表明中共在悄悄地改邪归正呢？
中共呢，多少年来都是用的这种立了多少多少的法案啊，通过多少多少法律啊，有什么样行政命令来制止这个酷刑。然而在实际上呢，这些法案、这些命令从来都不被他遵守的。
In fact, much of the persecution of Falun Gong exists outside the law. For example, there's this office called the 610 office, which is basically above the law. It's a force of policemen that can go without an arrest warrant, arrest anybody, send them to labor camp without trial, torture them, obviously illegally, and do whatever they want. They can search, they can beat, they can arrest and detain and kill even. And...Same with the legal system. Falun Gong practitioners will not receive a fair trial. They're not allowed legal representation. Lawyers who try to represent them are themselves, like Gao Zhisheng and others, jailed and tortured. So this whole campaign against Falun Gong, like other campaigns against petitioners, against democracy activists, against House Christians and other groups, because Falun Gong is maybe the largest, but certainly not the only group persecuted in China, exists outside of the legal system. And so it's very funny to pass a law.Trying to stop something that, to begin with, is existing outside the law and is run by the Communist Party.
所以呢，我们把这种就是说这个欺骗的手段呢，叫做纸上的进步和实际的恶化。
从法轮功明会网上公布的调查线索来看，在2007年5月中共颁布器官移植管理条例之后，大量供体不明的器官移植手术还在全国各地进行着，罪恶仍然在继续。
随着调查的深入，越来越多的证据被揭示出来，这些证据已经有点连成了面，勾勒出了中共活摘法轮功学员器官这一罪行的基本全貌。这件事情存在的本身已经不容置疑，在大量的事实面前，信与不信完全成了每一个人自己良心的选择。人们或者站出来为曝光和制止这一罪行而努力，或者选择回避和漠视。相信历史会对每一个人此时的选择做出公正的评价。好了，这次的事实关心节目就到这儿了，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。